Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I guess since I'm doing the in-office switchboard tonight, I guess I'm doing the introduction. I was waiting for Nicole to do the introduction, but I guess she's letting me run with it tonight.
Okay, Nicole, should I do it just so you don't, like, mess it up?
No, we're good.
Okay. Yes, I'm here, so, obviously.
Welcome to. I was waiting, and then I was like, "Well, I guess maybe because I'm."
I wasn't sure. We didn't discuss that. So.
Well, I've never not ran it, or you've never not ran it. So I guess.
I know.
That's where I don't understand where the dilemma came in there of you not talking. I guess. So.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to take the lead or sit back and let you introduce the show. Evidently,
no,
now I know.
I hate doing it.
I could tell.
You've never not done it, and so.
I know. I feel almost wrong. I feel like I kind of have to do it.
Well, I do too. Hence why I was like, "We'll just end
okay."
The
well, here's the delayed
version.
Reaction. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I am one of the hosts tonight, Nikki Paranormal. I'm joined by, obviously, as you know, Rob, who also hosts the show. There you go. I could go into more detail if you want.
No, I was not talking like I wasn't there. I was like a surprise.
Right. Very good job. Very good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No problem.
So I was assuming you were going to call it jet lag. So anyone who follows you on social media knows that you're on vacation. Kind of. You know, I don't know if you can really, 3 days into a vacation, still claim jet lag. I don't really know how that works, but I don't think that's possible.
Probably not. You're right. But I don't know if this is vacation exactly.
I don't know either.
It's vacation from my normal life.
And it was vacation from doing the introduction to our radio show. So
right.
You've taken vacations all over.
Okay, sure. Whatever you say. Yes, I'm live from Florida, everybody. So that's where I'm at.
Well, and I'm live from sunny Ohio, which we found out today that there's actually a dog warning today. Which
a small dog advisory.
I had never heard of that before, but apparently it's a real thing. They had the little ticker thing and the alert going through my cable television saying that there was a small dog advisory, meaning if you put your dog outside, it will blow away. So I didn't know that was an actual thing.
I didn't either. I feel evil laughing about it, but the picture that you sent me, just like, and the fact that it really is a thing, I couldn't help but laugh. Like I laughed.
No,
like
it really is
sad.
A thing.
I feel evil.
I hurried up and went to Cleveland.com, and I was actually on the cover of Cleveland.com was the small dog advisory with a picture of a dog. Like, it looked like he was in one of those like wind machines or something. And it was I'm pretty sure it was a stage picture, but
if it wasn't, they're evil.
I don't know. I guess if you put your small dog out today, it was like a kite. So,
you know what, and here for this just furthers my evil. You know, I was thinking if a small dog with long ears, does that make them more susceptible to flight? You know,
I think it would.
Probably. And then I just imagined it, and then I laughed even harder, which is kind of dangerous, actually, because I was driving, and I had tears.
Well, I think the dogs with the pointy, like the pointy
yeah.
nose breeds would probably be more aerodynamic.
Perhaps, yeah. Yeah.
Not sure how that all
it's
works or how that all became advisory, but it was.
And,
but,
I, you know, the question that I asked was, what exactly is the wind speed need to be for it to be a small dog advisory? You know,
or
that
how,
really, like,
how they determine that. That would be what
right.
that would concern me is, like, you know, who was the guy that decided to, like, throw his dog outside and say, find out what, you know.
I guess it was
speed.
A weatherman with a small dog, and he was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. It just, it feels wrong.
It's concerning.
And the picture was even worse. Yeah.
No, I mean, the picture was just a dog, like, with his hair being blown. You're making it seem like it was a dog that, like, it was like flying away or
okay.
something. It wasn't that bad.
But it kind of could have been in mid-flight.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. It is
so,
a dog. But anyway,
I
hope all the small dogs are safe there in Ohio.
I went out and I did not get hit. I did not see any small dogs flying in the sky, nor did I get hit by any small dogs. So
I think
people adhered to the advisory and...
Thank goodness.
There was no incidents reported.
Thank goodness, because that did concern me. But, you know, it just caught me off guard. I mean, it's something that I have definitely never came across on the news before. So, you know.
No, well, it's how we roll here in Northeast Ohio, I guess.
The strange, different, incredibly weird, you got it. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to come up with a segue to bring on our guests from the dog advisory, and I don't have one. So
I don't think
you know,
there is one.
There's not.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to bring them on. So,
okay.
Jax, you there?
Yeah, Jax is here.
Sorry, we got into our story about the small dog advisory, and I didn't have any good segue to bring you on.
How am I supposed to follow a small dog advisory?
It's a rough job, but I think you can handle it.
I know it's just an interesting thing, and it's it blows me away, pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do us a favor and introduce yourself? For people who, shame on them, don't know who you are. But if you could, I always like to do that because it kind of gives, you know, who's better to talk about themselves than themselves, you know? So why don't you have at it
for
a second.
Except for people that hate talking about
themselves. It's always the best way.
Well, I'm Jack Atwell. I'm a licensed private investigator in Arizona and Montana. And, a little acting, a little TV stuff. I've been on History Channel, and my show was called Missing in Alaska with Ken Gerhardt, which some of your listeners might know. He was a cryptozoologist. And pretty much that's it. I travel all over the place on investigations, and some of them legitimate domestic type stuff, you know, but a lot of it get to do some of the creepy stuff too. So I was just preparing a trip right now to head out to New York next week for a couple of things that meet up with a couple guys to do. And other than that, just a normal guy.
Well, it's interesting what you do kind of ties into what we do. You know, it's all investigating, you know, though it's a different genres, but you said you do, you know, come into our genre at some point. So, you know, have you been,
I do quite a bit. It happens quite a bit, you know. They definitely intersect, like you said, an investigation with an investigation. And I think that's something that's important, especially in paranormal stuff, because people can, you know, start to manifest things if they're not following their investigative process. And when you're investigating things of the paranormal, it's always so easy to see things that aren't there because you're so excited about the outcome. But if you stick to your investigative process, which is no different from, you know, a theft of a candy bar to a murder to seeing ghosts, you know, it's it'll keep you from seeing false things that aren't really there.
Well, especially with, you know, and we find the glorification with television and stuff, and everyone now thinks they have a demon. You know, that's a very popular thing that comes on, you know, in our genre, is because they see it on TV now, you know, automatically. You know, there's a bump in their wall, and next thing you know, they have a demon. You know, so that is the downside of, you know, how it's people can construe, you know, something happening that might not be actual fact.
Oh, of course.
So
yeah,
now,
consider all of it.
Do you go out on paranormal investigations? Have you been on one? You know, what's your background when it comes to the paranormal?
Yeah, I mean, I get the calls quite frequently. I'm kind of particular on the type of cases I take in the paranormal. You know, but I'll listen to everyone. You know, you do run into people who, you know, can be dealing with some mental issues and you know, because of medications or mental health, you know, just run across those. And I'll still help the person, you know. But I just got a call today of a lady who's, you know, hearing voices in her house, and the husband's very concerned because of her behavior and stuff like that. And I'll be, you know, setting up an investigation for her residence with all my tools of the trade and heading out there to see what she's got going on. I've been out there once before, and we had some things that I wanted the husband to check out first and get back to me before, you know, I billed him for an investigation, you know, making sure that her mental health was all there. It looks like, you know, she may be actually having some stuff that's within her house that she might have actually played with and brought upon herself, possibly. you know, and so, you know, we'll see. But, again, that's when it's in the works. But, yeah, I get these calls pretty frequently, and, you know, I do a lot on my own. You know, I love when I go to upstate New York, and I like to visit the cemeteries and, you know, walk around and feel things. You know, I'm an empath naturally, which makes me a good investigator. So it's kind of just fun to walk around amongst all that, all those energies.
Definitely.
Now, when it comes to the calls you've gotten, and I know we get them, and has there ever been one that's just like, you can't believe it, but when you get there, it actually is happening? Or maybe on the flip side, one that is like, oh, like this is going to be silly, and it turns out that there's actual activity going on?
Oh, yeah,
kind of,
for
like,
sure. I mean,
completely change your outlook on what you thought you were going into.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I had, you know, during our time in Alaska, which I grew up in Alaska, and I can tell you stories from when I was younger and stuff and things like that. A lot of paranormal activity happens up there. You know, obviously, that is a whole quite discussion on its own. But while we were on the show, we had gotten the investigation to investigate gnomes. And let me just tell you, I laughed my ass off when I got this, you know, investigation, because to me it was one of the silliest things I'd ever heard of. The case was silly. You know, just the layout, and it has, you know, we got diving into the information, and then we went out. And let me just say, I'm a full believer in gnomes. It is the one cryptid, I will say, even over Bigfoot, even over a lot of the other paranormal and cryptid creatures. I'll tell you right now, I fully believe in gnomes. I believe they're worldwide. I've seen firsthand what they've done, seen evidence of them in Palmer, Alaska. And we're talking about not just like, you know, Native Alaskans and myth. We're talking about, you know, normal little middle-class community outside of Anchorage, you know, that has seen these things. Law enforcement officers, who I obviously believe, being a former law enforcement officer, you know, having rocks thrown at them that, you know, a very strong man, or not even that, to be able to throw them, snowballs in weird places, and meat ripped, you know, right off the bone, that it's, you know, no sign of bear around, but.
Wow.
Then we had heat sensors, you know, heat, where we were actually in the woods, and it was freezing, obviously, and, you know, their little feet, we could see them on the ground, their little heat spots, but they had been around us. So it was pretty unique. I've continued that study. Actually, last summer in the Pryors in Wyoming, it's a mountain range shared by Southern Montana and Wyoming. And there's tons of folklore there, obviously, with the Blackfeet Indian, but they don't believe them to be folklore. And they live in the ice caves there. And I definitely say there's definitely a lot of stuff there in those prairies that are very creepy. And the Blackfeet used to trade with them to keep them from taking their young. And
wow.
It's definitely, you can go through, actually YouTube's got some interesting videos. When we were in Alaska investigating gnomes, there was a video that came out of Argentina that someone actually videoed one while I was throwing rocks. It's obviously always grainy, you know how videos are with cryptids, but it's definitely one of those things that I don't necessarily believe that it has to be paranormal. Potentially it could just be, you know, kind of like the pygmy type thing where DNA structures and people left maybe inbreeding and all that stuff in one spot have created a smaller people and they survive. But it could be some paranormal activity. Either way, I believe there is little people out there. Mean, strong little people.
Wow.
Well, and that's what, when we tell people, at least in our genre, where we do paranormal stuff, they automatically think ghost hunting. But, you know, the paranormal covers so many different genres and so many different, you know, things in that term. And that fits in, right, with what we, you know, we try to, you know, bring. And I find that very interesting. We'll have to do a whole episode just on that. We'll have to talk to you about that and have you come on and just
Definitely.
Talk about that, because that's really interesting. Especially, you know, we have no reason to doubt your credibility or reason for you to call in today and be like, hey, there's such thing as gnomes. You know, it's just some of the question we had asked you. So, you know, I trust
definitely
what
one
you're
of
saying,
those
so
things.
That,
it's definitely one of those strange
definitely.
Things for sure. But getting back to what you're saying, you know, about it is all the same, because even I've had even legitimate cases, you know, criminal cases potentially, where you actually are, you know, can be dealing with the paranormal also on top of things. I had a murder investigation years ago, and the suspect, just no evidence on him, except you could see his burden, his mental burden, his spiritual burden was a huge ox yoke around his neck. And it was almost in the form of physicality, if you've ever seen that. You know what I mean? He carried around, you know, almost like he's carrying around a demon with him, you know, or some spirit. And it was crazy. It was crazy. And, you know, when you know how to see those things, you just got to know you're on the right path for your investigation.
Right. Yeah.
Well, how did you get hooked up with the Missing in Alaska show? Because, you know, with your background, you know, being from Alaska, I'm sure that helped. But, you know, how did you get involved in that production?
Well, it was kind of an accident. I had put in for the show, and I was actually 2 weeks late putting in for the show. They originally had the plan for the show to be a cryptozoologist, which was Ken Gerhard, and then Alaskan historian and folklore expert, which is the artist Tommy Joseph. He's a you know, pole and all the Alaskan art, Rain Tree Gallery, I think is out of Juneau, Alaska, but extremely knowledgeable on all the folklore. And folklore in Alaska is confusing too, because it's not like our lower 48 Native Americans. Every tribe up there is very, very different, and almost like racially different. You can tell, you know, what groups, you know, interbred with Russians or Chinese. You can tell all the different, you know, some are very short, some are extremely tall. I mean, they just have very different looks and outlooks, and the folklore is obviously very different too. So it takes a lot to be up on all that stuff. And then, so the third person they wanted was a private investigator. They wanted somebody with the other two to keep people on the path of a true investigative process, and not just, you know, get off on tangents. And it's really easy in Alaska to see things, and it's just, there's so much. It's such a big, vast land. People have no idea how big it is. I mean, somebody the other day was like, really, Alaska's that big? I'm like, yeah, you can take Texas and California and smash them in there, and there's still room left.
Right.
You know, so landmass-wise, it's, when you just think about it, it's only got 2% of the U.S. population living there. So you imagine what could be out there, what is out there. Obviously, you know, lots of stuff written and documented on that stuff. But that was just kind of an accident or an act of God. Maybe it wasn't an accident, but, you know, obviously you said it. Me growing up in Alaska had a lot of help for me getting out onto the show.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
When it comes to, like, investigating, you talk about folklore and stuff like that. Was that something that interests you as, like, a child, or is it something that just, you know, is it always with you, or how did
I've always had interest in folklore stuff. And especially with the native cultures, my mother was a, mostly for the lower 48, but she was a native cultural, you know, major for her degree. So I kind of grew up with it. I always grew up with stories of Hiawatha and, you know, being swallowed by a giant sturgeon and things like that. I just grew up with that type of mythology. And so that translated extremely, to Alaskan folklore. When I was younger and when we moved up there. And, you know, kind of went from there. And, you know, I guess the Greek mythology, stuff like that has always interested me, you know. It kind of just, it's the same, it's all the same, just different stories and different people, different stories. And just very interesting to see, you know, what creates a legend, you know, what creates a folklore, what goes into that, how much of it is legend, how much of it is parents keeping children away from the water so, you know,
right,
the creature in there doesn't, you know, make them drown, or is it just keep them away from water so they don't fall in and drown. you know,
mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that interesting stuff to see, you know, what is added to it, you know, that creates the folklore. We can kind of trace it back. What was the original start to the folklore and the legend that created it?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually there's truth at the beginning.
Right. Definitely.
Well, you know, especially between that and, like the crypto stuff, you know, I would assume there'd be a lot of, like, animals and stuff that, especially in Alaska, that, you know, there's legend of that. Because you mentioned that, you know, it's only 2% of the population, and it's that huge. That there is the wildlife there is, you know, at an abundance. So there's probably a lot of, you know, crypto hunters that are just,
mm-hmm.
you know, can't wait to get out there. I know myself.
Oh yeah, you have stuff.
Go ahead, sir.
Now you have stuff up there, you know, that potentially just hasn't been seen. You know,
right.
When we were there, there was a herd of about 300 bison that was believed to have been extinct. What they had done is they had roamed and migrated about 100 years ago into Canada and hadn't been seen because they're out there in the middle of nowhere. And then when they had migrated back into Alaska while we were there, and what's different about this herd was they're a good head taller and bigger than the normal herds that we have, say, in Montana. You know, in those places, they're basically giant bison. They were believed to have been, you know, a strain of DNA that had been extinct. Now, that Lazarus syndrome, you know, with creatures that you find that think are extinct, it could be. You know, those always pop up all the time. But Alaska's just got so much stuff like that. We investigated a demon wolf up there, which would be very similar to, like, say, a saber-toothed tiger. It'd be a lone wolf, very gigantic. And people believe that's real, that it's out there. And it's not a, you know, a cryptid or a paranormal thing. It's actually a living, breathing animal that just, you know, is very solitary and hasn't been seen. So those things are always possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I always
can't
find,
rule them out. That's for sure.
Well, I think I've always found, you know, the animals which are extinct, and, you know, I've always found it interesting that, you know, people go out and try to, you know, actually debunk that fact of the extinction when it comes to something like the thylacine in. Was in New Zealand and Australia. And I've always was really interested in stuff like that. Is there anything that, like, you haven't necessarily with the show or personally gone out and investigated yet when it comes to folklore or an animal or what, you know, that you would actually be up for going out and investigating?
Well, I'll tell you one close to you. I'll tell you one close to you is the Appalachian Mountains with the Black Panther sightings. I don't know if you read much about those, but those are increasing. These sightings of Black Panthers, large Black Panthers, you know, believed to only live in different parts of the world, not here, definitely not in Pennsylvania. So definitely that would be something that I would love to, you know, put some time in and see what people are seeing out there. And these same spots that they're seeing these Black Panthers are also seeing, you know, the Skunk Man, which is a version of Bigfoot and stuff like that. So you could be out in those same areas. And then, of course, the Appalachians having tons of spiritual stuff in them. I know the Appalachian Trail, someday I'd like to hike the whole thing. But there's everybody who hikes that usually comes out of there with some sort of spiritual situation that occurred to them during that hike. Not necessarily a good one. But there's just so much stuff out there. You know, natives always thought that land was very, in some places, you know, haunted, and in other places, you know, were sacred. And just to keep going with what your question was, we here in Arizona have an ocelot, which is a type of cat, a jaguar, that they've always believed to be here, but they're very shy, and they never get seen by cameras rarely, but in the last 10 years they've had a lot more sightings of them, and so I would love to go out and be able to photograph and see something like that, much like the Black Panther.
Well, I know that there was one point, I guess, within the past maybe 6 months, that Nicole was driving home, and she swears she saw like an albino. I don't even know what was it that you said you claimed you saw. And
I don't even know what Nicole, it was big. It was big. It was white, and it was quick. And it wasn't a bear. It was more like it was a cat-like creature, but it was huge, huge cat. It was white, and it was in front of my car. And I swear I was rolling a good 100 miles an hour because I don't go slow. And it was in front of me, and I went to hit the brake, and it was gone. It should have been dead. I should have been dead by the size of it. And I actually had to, like, pull over. And I don't do that. Like, that doesn't faze me. Like, this fazed me because it was so quick, and I don't know what the hell it was. And I swear to God, I think I called everybody. I was like, I don't know what the hell it was. But, you know, I would love to know what it was.
What was the backdrop? Was it green shrubbery and trees?
It was in the middle of the road. I was on 68 and coming from, I guess I was in Maryland or West Virginia. In the mountains.
So green.
And it, yeah, green. And it just went quick. It went real quick. It was quick. It was in the mountains. It was, you know, I couldn't even move my wheel to the other lane. Like I instinctively went to hit the brake, you know, and I mean, the thing was gone. It was fast. Thank goodness. Cause we both could be dead, but, I would love to know what it was, you know? And Rob is like, yeah, okay, crazy, but I know what I saw. I just don't know what it is.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting whether or not you saw something as albino or if you actually saw something that was out of this world.
Right. Beats me, but it was definitely a weird one. Haven't experienced anything like that since, and I drive those roads quite a bit, and never came across anything like that.
I kind of know what your shock was because it wasn't very big, but I had an albino deer run in front of me, and it was very shocking. Just the deep white, you know, the white with the green backdrop of trees and shrubbery, and just it was what I just see. What was that?
Right. Yeah, it takes a second to process, and you're like, wait a minute. But this animal, it was so muscular, and it was big, and I wish I could draw because I would draw it, but I suck at that. It would not do it justice.
I think we should try at least. I think you need to try to draw it.
Oh,
you brought that up.
Rob can send you some crayons.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll bring crayons.
I'll be waiting for them to be delivered to my hotel room.
It'll be white crayons on white paper.
Exactly, so I can't mess it up.
Right? Stop, you can't go wrong.
What do you mean you can't see it?
Exactly.
Fast.
It was so fast. It went by so fast, you missed it.
Now, when it comes to investigating paranormal claims, and you mentioned you get the calls, and you know you had given us a little information about possibly going out to a woman's house, do you use any traditional paranormal investigation devices when you go out and do this?
Yes, I do, and I'm a big believer, and it's kind of a cross thing I use in real investigations. I have a device, it's a fairly simple device, and I use it for, finding signals for bugs, and it hits very different frequencies. The viewfinder on it for hidden camera also works well for some types of entities, especially if there's moisture involved. So I'll utilize that also, and then the listening device. And then one of my favorite tools that I have that a lot of people don't have access to is I have a military-grade infrared that actually records.
Nice.
It's about a $5,000 piece of equipment. Most even infrared type equipment, you get from Fleur. I mean, I used to always run around with a Fleur that was on my Fleur's a brand, sorry. It's an infrared brand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what that is. And I used to have one on my phone. But the problem is with the phone, it worked really well with the phone, except for things that were far away. You know, you get about that 20, 30 feet, and then it just gets start being, you just tell her the heat signature. It doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
But this device is amazing. I mean, it's you can see the full outline of people from decent distance, obviously not from super far, but it's going to be a whole lot better than any camera could pick up, especially at night, because that's always the problem with paranormal stuff with cameras is, darkness and lighting. Even if something's there,
mm-hmm.
it might not pick it up. A lot of orbs and stuff like that don't get seen just because of lighting, and then some are created because of lighting. So you just got to be careful with that stuff. And I don't ever just lean on one source because of just what I said, is some things can get created by yourself, as
right.
we see a lot with people's photographs, which the lighting can create things. Shoot, there's even apps now. You can add those orbs in. So
right.
You gotta be careful of all that stuff. But infrared is a big part of mine because I do always believe that these signatures, if they're there, are going to leave something, whether it's cold or hot. There should be a difference in temperature. And even if it's just looking at a room and you're looking at one spot, it doesn't, like, why is that spot, ice cold compared to these spots on these walls, Again, it's not a tell-all. You can't lean on it like, oh, this is 100%. This is, ghost right here. You can't say that. I don't believe. But I like using multiple pieces of stuff to see what's there. I'm not a big voice box person. I know a lot of people really, really like that. I'll play along and I'll do it, but I don't lean on that as much. I think it's really easy, especially if you watch like Ghost Hunters. The Cobra Commander does that all the time. Not a big fan of that. I hope I didn't offend any of your listeners for calling them that, but it's what I think of them. It's kind of a dorky, made-up show. They actually went to Montana to a site that actually I plan on investigating. It was just the people I knew there that dealt with them and weren't too happy with who they were and what they did and stuff they kind of made up to make it a show, which you guys know how television is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing with the ghost box and stuff too.
What's that?
I said, with the ghost box,
no.
too, it's all about like being responsible and kind of like taking for what it is. We always use an analogy where, you pick up the radio on those ghost boxes and, it does pick up words from different sources. Like, for example, the summertime baseball games, and we've been places where we've had people ask a question like, hey, what's your name? And the response was hot dog, because hot dog was relevant to the baseball game that was on. But then, and you can be not responsible and then take that as, oh, look, the spirit's hungry. So I think that's what kind of makes it for us. We do like the ghost box, but we try to be responsible when it comes to our...
it's a tool. It's a tool. You just can't lean on it fully. And also you run into, it's a lot of people forget about that, especially younger investigators who don't have a lot of experience, but you run into rural places, you run into ham radio
mm-hmm.
that can cross over and interfere. You might not even be close to what the channel that it's on, but it might pick up a few words here and there. And you know, you run into that, or if you're close to the ocean, you know, Coast Guard stuff, other tankers and things like that way out in the ocean, you can pick up things, you know, that are just traveling through the air. So you just got to be careful about it. I think, you know, all those things are tools, but ultimately, you know, when you collect all of your evidence, that's what gives you your answer.
Right. I agree.
So now if someone
that's the difference, I think, and just people always act like there's a big difference between being, you know, a private investigator versus a paranormal investigator. Right? If you stick to, you know, the evidence, it's all the same.
I agree.
Yeah, evidence is evidence. Yep.
It's just about being responsible with it and not letting the evidence lead your, you know, it sometimes I think you can be led down the wrong path pretty easily by not being responsible. And I think that goes for probably all type of investigating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, there's lots of people that are sitting in prison because of that, you know, from back in the day, you know, for wrongful convictions because overzealous detectives or agencies, you know. Obviously, DNA helps now get a lot of those people off. But, you know, I'll give you an example of overzealous investigation. It's not really necessarily about paranormal stuff, but it's just something I recently discovered that our government's trying to hide. So, you know, a lot of convictions are starting to get overturned with this stuff is that government brings in experts to testify on the fact of cell phone usage. And as people being convicted or have been convicted in the past based on where their cell phone was, but it's not accurate. And the cell phone companies and the scientists, and basically the scientists call it junk science because government's using this junk science to convict people, and it's not correct because you can have cell towers that are full and it'll move your cell to the next cell that's available. All different kinds of stuff like that completely debunk people in prison with, you know, for being, you know, their phone giving a location that's not really them. And that's kind of stuff is, again, you're just leaning on one piece of evidence. And, you know, that kind of stuff just really can derail your investigation.
Definitely.
Well, for those people who are listening and they want to maybe get a hold of you or look up your stuff, where's the best place for people to find you on the internet?
Oh, pretty easy. Just put Jack Spinez Atwell and you're going to find me and all my social media. You'll find my my webpage. Atwell Investigations is my, you know, company, which I have a lot of information and other links and stuff like that to things from my main website, too. All my social media is open to the public, so you can find me on there just by name.
And if somebody was interested in seeking your help, they can just do that right through your website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's 10 billion different ways to contact me anymore. So I just had someone on Facebook the other day for something paranormal get a hold of me, and that was interesting. They used social media to contact me, but there's always all different ways to contact anymore.
Awesome.
Well, we definitely appreciate your time tonight. And we look forward to probably having you on again to talk about those gnomes. I'm interested in that.
Sure.
You had me at gnomes.
Yeah, well, I'm going back this summer. Actually, I go back in July and August. I'm actually filming a short film that I was in, actually with a prequel to a film that we won an award on this fall, where I play the main bad guy. You can see that on YouTube. It's called The Survivors short film, and I play the main bad guy in that deal, but we're doing a prequel to it. We're filming in July and August, but the fun thing about that is that we actually go to the Pryors, and the main director is actually a gnome hunter, so we go out and have some fun and go in ice caves and do a little spelunking and looking for evidence and stuff like that. Hopefully talk to a few Blackfeet Indian while I'm out there, because it's an interesting wilderness out there. It kind of reminds me of, it's best described if you've seen Mad Max, and it looks like that type of desert, just not super hot. It's more windy and just wind barren. So it's a very interesting place because under the ground, they have ice caves, even though there's not ice on the surface. So it's a very interesting, mythical kind of place.
Well, we're going to have to hook up and have to have you
yeah.
even maybe, we'll have to figure something out. Maybe have you do a couple interviews with the gnome hunters or something for our website, because it's in our channel.
I want to go gnome hunting.
It has to be done.
I
think
go.
We should.
I think we need to go. I want to go.
We'll make it happen.
We have to make this happen. Let's do this.
I'm pretty sure if anything comes out of tonight, it's that we want to be gnome hunters.
So, yeah, how ridiculous it sounds, but the pygmies were real, so, and they still are, and they're very dangerous, and tons of mythology around the pygmies in Africa. Little short people that could make you freeze in your tracks and die, and they had all kinds of stuff like that. Well, they eventually found out to be this little inbred tribe with poison darts. So stuff is could legitimately have legitimate reasons,
Well, and for us, I mean, we sit around in a dark and talk to the wall. So who are us to say, who are we to say that anything
exactly.
is crazy, So, we might actually be the crazy ones. So we definitely appreciate you having you on tonight, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Well, there you go. I think gnome hunting might even be the new thing for us.
I think it's something that
we definitely
need to add to our list. We need to add it to the list of things that, that we have at least attempted to investigate, I don't know enough if I've experienced, a gnome. I don't believe I have, but it's definitely something, once again, to be well-versed in the field. You really need to, sink your teeth into everything, and it's something that I want to do research on now. So that's really cool.
I didn't know.
I love finding
new
things to research on.
I didn't know you could be a gnome hunter. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Me either. Me either.
I didn't want to sound stupid, be like, hey, I wasn't really sure there was such a thing, but now that I know there's a thing, I'm really
now
intrigued.
Now I need to do it.
And I think it's
I
what
want
I want
to
grow
it.
Up to be. When I grow up, I want to be a gnome hunter.
I want to be a gnome hunter, amongst other things. But I definitely don't want to shortchange myself. And I don't want to just be one. So just be a gnome hunter. I want to be, well-versed.
But what
so
if
I think
you
I
were
need to change my teeth in.
Gnome hunter, like the number one gnome hunter?
Well, I don't know how many females are gnome hunters. So I could be the female gnome hunter.
The
I mean, I'm sure there already is
hunting.
One. So I don't want to step on any. I don't want to step on any toes. Because people do that all the time, at least within the paranormal genre. I'm sure that genre, has the same hiccups that we do. So I would definitely like to look into it. And, if for some reason they are lacking female gnome hunters, by all means, I think I need to jump on in. And even if they're not lacking, even if there's more chicks, I want to go do this. I want to do it.
I think we need to reevaluate everything we do and just... maybe switch gears.
Hunter of things. Hunter of all things.
Yeah, because I think that...
limiting ourselves to the term of paranormal might be, we're probably limiting ourselves.
Foolish.
We really could... Right, it's truly foolish. Yeah.
That,
I mean,
that
does that fall
me,
under paranormal? What does that fall under?
I don't know,
probably
but I know,
spectrum.
Like, I kept thinking, have you ever seen a movie, was it Goosebumps? I think in that movie they actually had gnomes that attacked them.
They did. They did.
And
it
kept reminding me of that scene from the movie. So.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
movie,
I can't help but think
real.
Of yard gnomes, but,
Well, that's what it was. It was like all these yard gnomes.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking of yeah.
Well,
I have
mean,
a Duck Dynasty one.
There's yard gnomes for a reason.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Just like there's ghosts on Halloween.
That's right.
No, there has to be an origin somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. And
I don't know the whole folklore behind gnomes.
Right. I need to get educated on this. Just like everything else. I want to sink my teeth into all of it. I want to go. Hunt for Bigfoot. I want to go hunt for everything that needs hunted or seeked or investigated, whichever you would like
just
to call it.
Just gnomes for me.
It's not like I'm not going to take and put them on my mantle, they're not like trophies on my wall. you know, I want to get myself well versed in all of the different things. So I will be doing some research on this.
I just want to be good at one thing, and I think that's no money.
Well, there you go. We'll see now. You know what? I've got nothing but time to kill while I'm on vacation. My laptop's fully charged up, and I think it's time to use the hotel's Wi-Fi and really sink my teeth into it.
Dive into the gnomes.
I will.
Go buy one. There's got to be
there
Home
is a
Depot
24-hour
or something
Walmart.
Or on there.
There's a Home
Walmart's
Depot.
Walmart's
got
to have it.
But they're not open. The Home Depot's not open. The Garden Center does close, I found out, so I might be SOL until tomorrow, unless for some reason someone misplaced one throughout the store, which is highly likely because this store is, like, really, really busy. I haven't been in the Home Depot. I've only been in the parking lot. But the Walmart, I must say, I've never seen so many people in Walmart in all my life. So the odds are the garden department has something misplaced throughout the store, and perhaps it's a gnome.
Or just go walk up and down the streets and take one for someone's house.
Well, I'm actually outside right now. I'm on the hunt already. I haven't come across any yet.
Yeah,
I am.
They're looking for you.
Well,
if it's one of
those things
where they find out if you start getting hit in the head with pebbles and stuff or big rocks. And you know.
There's a whole bunch of rocks right next to me, too. If they really wanted to, they could definitely pommel my ass right here. It could happen. That was not a rock hitting me, if you heard that sound. It was not.
Well,
it was something else.
Sure. Something else hit you?
No, it didn't hit me. It just made a really loud sound. And, I didn't want anybody to think I got knocked out by a gnome yet. Not yet. But if it does happen,
it might be on
to
you.
And when I come to, I will definitely let everybody know.
Well, that, you know the fun part about the interviews, it definitely took. You have to watch. You don't get any coconuts dropped on your head.
Yeah, there's no coconuts in this one. I'm looking for them too. Coconut hunting too.
Well, you know, it's funny because today when we were doing a promotion for the show, you never would have thought that we would have been down the road of gnome hunting. So, it's one of those things.
Never in a million friggin' years. I didn't think that that's. But you know what? Hey, I'm open to it. Why not? You know? Why not?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think we have 7 days to our next show. And I think we need to make some kind of significant, definitely dive into it, make a significant announcement of us doing our first gnome hunting expedition. Don't know if that's the right word for gnome hunting, is a gnome expedition, but it sounds cool.
I'm not sure. We have to look up all the terminology.
Or just make up our own.
I don't know if that's accepted.
I don't know. But we don't need to be accepted in the official gnome hunters society. Because,
is there one?
If they
I'm
had
not
already
kidding.
Figured
I am
it
totally
out.
Gonna, when we are done our show, I'm totally going to fire up the rental, and I'm going to see if I can find a gnome in Walmart, at least. And then that'll start my journey. It's not the same, I understand.
He seemed convinced about the gnomes.
I know, which is really, really riveting to me. Because, just the same as, someone might be, oh, that's crazy. Just the same as somebody says when, we have a paranormal experience that's incredibly profound and we try to share that with others, and they're like, okay, crazy. I'm not dissing it. I really think that, clearly he has some sort of very powerful experience. And, I'm not going to diss it. I want to know more about it. For real.
Well, that leads me to this question. Do you think we've ever communicated with the spirit of a gnome?
I don't know. Never
that
has identified itself as one.
No, but do they have gnome names or do they have gnome names?
What would a gnome name be?
Don't know. Maybe some of the weird words we come through.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the weird names were
there are so many questions, perhaps, there's so many facets, so many questions. So I think every bit of types of evidence that we come across, that, you know, like I said, just when you, if you start to think you know something, something else will come along and make you really scratch your head and think again. You know,
did
this
you say
is
just
the unknown.
Think you know something?
No. Gnome. Oh, we're going too far with that one. But,
yeah, that is a stretch.
No,
for
I mean, you know, that's just, there's so many things that, you know, leave so many more questions than answers. And I think that's why I find it incredibly interesting. And as someone who has ADHD, you know, I got to keep myself entertained. And well, damn, the unknown is surely doing it.
The unknown.
The unknown. Yeah. Too far again.
Oh, it's usually too far. If I don't take it
really
once,
that
pass too far, then you know it's not me. It's a gnome
exactly.
Playing me.
Gnome shit. Is that a thing?
I don't gnome nothing.
No.
Well,
in all honesty, I do find it really interesting, and I definitely do want to look up that video on YouTube with the gnomes caught in Argentina. I wrote notes. I'm going to look that up.
You can watch that movie Goosebumps, too, because there is that scene.
Yeah, you know, I tried to look for that for free when my kid was asking about it, because we went to the movies and saw Goosebumps, too. Regular one was not free on anything that I had access to, so not really.
I had offered my username and password to you at any time,
right.
So I'm not really sure why you're crying about it when you could just log in as me.
I could, but I'm just weird about that.
Yeah, because you might uncover some weird shows I watch or something. They're saying I don't watch TV. So there's nothing you can come uncover, be mad about, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is true.
I think the only thing I've watched recently
was... Yes, I just got a message.
Was,
Nikki the Gnome Hunter is catchy, and I'd have to agree.
Who sent you that message?
Nikki the Gnome Hunter. One of our listeners, and I agree. It's a very, very catchy thing there.
Well, we will
Rob knows
see everyone gnomes. Again.
Boom.
Yes.
Good stuff.
We will see everyone, or we won't see anybody, but we'll... hopefully people will listen in next week and find out what we've uncovered in our quest for gnome knowledge.
That just sounds funny. But yeah, it's true.
I hope everyone has a good and wonderful evening.
Yeah, I hope everyone has a great week too while we're
not on
air.
An evening.
No, just the evening. Just what's left of the evening, which is
tomorrow.
Not a lot. I do.
Right.
I do. Yeah.
All right, well,
mm-hmm.
I will see you next week. I'm actually going to see you in a couple of days. I'm not going to lie. We're going to be investigating in Huntsville, West Virginia at the Relic Museum run by Steve Hummel.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be pretty amazing.
I'm looking forward to it.
He does have a gnome.
He does. I think I took a picture of it.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God. It's all coming full circle. He's got a gnome. I made video of our evidence, and he's got a gnome.
That's right. This is true. I do remember.
And it's a haunted gnome. This is amazing. Full circle.
Yep. Bringing all those genres right smack dab together. Bam.
Wow.
Actually, because there was a one clip on the B-roll that I was like, oh, that's really cool. And it was the gnome.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to hang out with a haunted gnome
in
3 days or 4 days.
Yes.
I
have to get home from Florida first. I have to figure out my flight. I have to figure out things here so I can get home to be able to go to West Virginia, but I'm going to get it all figured out.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go from 80 couple degrees, like 88 degrees and sunny and gorgeous to, I don't even know what the temperature is there, but I'm sure it's not my friend.
I know.
Cold, I'm sure. Oh boy.
Well,
I'm gonna get sick again.
Of Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio.
You know me.
Which you might want to change to Live Paranormal Gnome Radio or Live Gnome something. We'll come up with a new show name.
Yeah, I love it. It's hot. Yeah, knowing the gnomes.
Right, well,
down with the gnomes.
Have a good night.
All right. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.